بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is chapter 2 of the Noble Quran, and we reached verse 115. قال الله عز وجل ولله المشرق والمغرب فأينما تولوا فثم وجه الله إن الله واسع عليم. And to Allah belong the east and the west, so whoever you turn or wherever you turn yourselves or your faces, there is the face of Allah. Surely Allah is all sufficient for His creatures' needs, all knowing subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asserting His lordship as well as His divinity. To Him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the east and the west. And other than Allah, their dominions are limited. The east and the west. The east is the place of ash-shuruq, of rising. And the west is the place of setting. The terms east and west came in the Quran mentioned in three different ways: singular, dual, and plural. Here it came in the singular form, east and west. And in Surah Ar-Rahman, chapter 55, verse 17, it came in the dual form, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. He is the Lord of the two east, the places of sunrise during the early summer and early winter, and the Lord of the two wests, the places of sunset during early summer and early winter. And in the verse that we have, Allah mentioned it in the singular, the east and the west. And it came in the plural form in Surah Al-Ma'arij, which is Surah 70, verse 40. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ. So I swear by the Lord of all points of sunrise and sunset in the east and the west. All points of sunrise, sunrise and sunset in the east and the west. See, it came in the plural form, points of sunrise and points of sunset in the east and the west. So how to reconcile between these three forms, the singular, the dual, and the plural? As to the singular, al-mashriq, the east, it does not contradict al-mashariq, the plural, nor al-mashriqayn, the dual. Why? Because it is a singular form that carries the article al, al-mashriq. It carries the article al. And when it carries the, when the singular carries the article al, then it is for al-jins, which means it is for the kind. And the kind comprises the singular and the multiple, or the more than one. This is one aspect. The second, as to the dual and to the plural, then the reconciliation is to say that the plural in al-mashariq and al-maghrib, this is in relation to whatever rises in the east and whatever sets in the west. Because whatever rises in the east and whatever sets in the west is many. The sun, the moon, the stars, each has its own point of east and its point of west, or sunset, or west, yes. Who can enumerate the stars? This is one aspect. Or it also could refer to be in relation to the rising each day and the setting of each day, because the sun each day has its rising east point and setting west point. Similarly, the case for the moon. And with respect to the dual, it is related to the rising in the east in the winter time and the rising in the east of the summertime, or in the summertime. Take for example the sun. The sunrise in the winter, during the sunrise in the winter, it will be inclined farthermost south, and during the summer its rising will be farthermost to the north, and between them there are great distances only known to Allah. This dual form came in Surah Ar-Rahman, and we know another benefit here is that most of the verses in Surah Ar-Rahman came in the dual form. Most of the verses in Surah Ar-Rahman came in the dual form. And thus it is fitting that the wording used for the east, for the east and the west, came in the dual form in Surah Ar-Rahman. And when magnification is intended, the east and the west are in the plural form. Listen to the verse carefully. In Surah Al-Ma'arij, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an oath and swearing by saying, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ إِنَّا لَقَادِرُونَ. So I swear by the Lord of all, the 360 points of sunrise and sunset in the east and the west, that surely we are able, عَلَىٰ أَن نُبَدِّلَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ, to replace them by other better than them, and we are not to be outrun. So this is, it fits the magnification, and that's why it is mentioned in the plural form. So therefore, back to this verse which we are talking about, Allah is saying, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ, and to Allah belong the east and the west, meaning the east of every rising thing and the west of every setting thing. And it is possible also that what is intended here, that to Allah belongs everything. Why? Because mentioning the east and the west denotes encompassing and comprehensibility, comprehensiveness. Because everything is either east or west. The west to some people is an east for others. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. So wherever you turn yourselves or your faces, there is the face of Allah. So wherever you تَوَلُّوا, meaning wherever you turn yourselves. فَثَمَّ, look at this term, فَثَمَّ mean there is, it means we have a point, a very important point of benefit from this, which we will talk about later, but remember this word فَثَمَّ, which means there is the face of Allah. فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, there is a difference amongst the scholars of tafsir concerning what is intended by wajhullah here. Some of them said it refers to the true face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others said it may refer to direction. Thus the verse would mean, in the place you direct yourself to, the place you direct yourself to is the direction of Allah, is the direction of Allah. Why? Because Allah encompasses everything. However, the correct tafsir is that it refers to the true face of Allah, the most magnificent, the most high, because this is the obviously understood and original meaning. And there is nothing to prevent it from being the case. Especially when we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قِبَلَ وَجْهِ الْمُصَلِّ. In the hadith reported in Al-Bukhari in volume 1, number 400. Commanding the believer while in the prayers not to spit in front of him. He said he shouldn't spit in front of him because in prayer Allah is in front of him. Because in prayer Allah is in front of him. And the people praying, according to their places, they will direct themselves. Take for example the people of Yemen. They will direct themselves to the north. And the people of the north will direct themselves to the south. And the people of the east to the west direction. And the people of the west in the east direction, each directing himself in one way. However, the direction that is common to all is the Kaaba. And each one of them is directing himself towards the face of Allah. So therefore the meaning of the verse would be, irrespective of where you direct yourself in your salah, then you direct yourself to Allah. Whether to the east or to the west or to the north or to the south. And for those people here who are listening and put some exclamation about this matter, it can be easily clarified to them by asking the following question. When you stand and direct yourself in the direction of the sun when it is about to set, can you say that the sun is in front of you or not? Can you say that the sun is in front of you or not? I'm asking. Yes, of course. Now, Osman, can you say that? Can you say that, Osman? That is the question. Okay. When you stand and face the sun, when it is about to set, can you say the sun is in front of you or not? Umayma, can you say that or not? Of course. Tayyib. Is the sun above you or not? Is the sun above you or not? Sun is above you. And it's in front of you, right? And it is in front of you, right? So, if this is true concerning a small thing from the creation of Allah, which is the sun, that it could be in front of you, yet it is above you, by all means, the creator of the sun, and the creator of the heavens, and the creator of the earth, is in front of the person who making salah, but Allah is above everything. If this is possible with the created, then by all means, it is all perfect for the creator. And that explains the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, which you have heard now. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the verse said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Can we have the last segment please, or last statement? نعم. Surely Allah is all sufficient for His creature's needs, all knowing, most encompassing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In His knowledge, in His ability, in His hearing, in His sight, and in everything pertaining to His attributes. All knowledgeable, all knowing, all acquainted with everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala, encompassing everything. From the benefits of this verse, number one, singling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the kingdom. And that His kingdom is perfectly comprehensive. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. Because He said, whenever you turn your face or yourselves, then there is the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses the east and the west, creating them and all able over them. And it is His right to direct His slaves wherever He wishes, from the east to the east or to the west. He possesses the east and the west. Here it is, you remember the verse earlier where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 106 spoke about the abrogation. when he said ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها, whatever a verse, revelation do we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, we bring a better one or similar to it. All of this verse 206 is a prelude to the turning of direction of the Qibla from Jerusalem to Mecca. So here in this verse which we are talking about, it is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لله المشرق والمغرب, to Allah belongs the east and the west. So if he wishes to change the direction to the east, of direction of the Qibla to the east, and if he wishes to change the direction of the Qibla to the west, then wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. I hope this is clear, inshallah. And from the benefits is affirming the attribute of the face, the majestic face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the benefits is affirming the majestic face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 6 points of benefit. Now comes the term ثم, فثم وجه الله, then there is the face of Allah. This proves that to Allah belongs a place, because this term ثم, 6 signals a place. However, this is above creation. Nothing of the creation encompasses Allah, since He is above everything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the slave girl, أين الله, where is Allah? She said, في السماء, in the heavens, meaning above heavens. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And from the points of benefits, refuting 2 innovations. Refuting 2 innovations. The first innovation is that of Al-Hululiyya. Innovation or deviant methodology or deviant sect, who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in essence is everywhere. Who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in essence is everywhere. This is refuted by textual proof, by intellect, as well as by the fitra, the natural inclination. Second innovation is that of the people of denial, who negate the attributes of Allah, and who say that Allah is not in the world, nor is He outside the world, or above it, or below it, nor that He is to the right of the world or to the left, not connected to the world, not separate from it. And if you think about this, some of the scholars made the following comment concerning such a description of Allah. They said, if someone says describe for us non-existence, we wouldn't find a precise definition of non-existence better than this definition which you just heard from these innovators, from the people of denial. Not in the world, not outside the world, or below or above, nor to the right nor to the left, not connected, not disconnected, not separate. If someone describes for us non-existence, if someone described for us non-existence, we wouldn't find a precise definition better than this definition of the people of Ta'til, of denial. However, the people of Ahl Sunnah affirm what Allah affirmed to Himself, that He is above creation, distinct and separate from His creatures, does not dwell in anything, rose above His arsh in the most majestic way, and from the benefits is the affirmation of the two names, all-knowing and all-sufficient, all-acquainted, from that also we deduct that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very fast, very vast, and encompasses everything. Nothing escapes His knowledge in the heavens nor in the earth. Then inshallah ta'ala we'll go to the next verse, verse 116 and also verse 117. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses says, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, and they say Allah has begotten a son. بَلْ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. Nay, to Him belongs all that's in the heavens and on earth, and all surrender with obedience in worship to Him. The بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the originator of the heavens and the earth. وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When He decrees a matter, He only says to it, be, and it is. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, and they say Allah has begotten a son, meaning the Christians said that, the Jews as well as the pagans. The Jews said that Uzair is the son of Allah. The Christians said that Al-Masih ibn Allah, Jesus the Messiah, is the son of Allah. And the mushriks said that the angels are the daughters of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared Himself free above such imperfection when He said, Subhanahu, glory be to Him, it is translated there, the meaning. But it means that Allah is far above any imperfection, and from that is attributing to Him sonship. Because the one who is free of all wants by Himself is self-sufficient. He possesses all the creation. And that's why He said in the statement right away, which follows, بَلْ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and to Him belongs all that's in the heavens and on the earth. To Him belongs all that's in the heavens and on earth. And the one to whom belongs all that is in the heavens and on the earth, لا يحتاج إلى ولد, doesn't need a son. If He had a son, then the son would
resemble him. Yet we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is like him. ليس كمثله شيء. Again, in response, he said, كل له قانتون. All surrender with obedience and worship to Allah. All surrender to him in humility. Because all are possessed by Allah. He possesses them. He is the one who owns them. And this is the proof, the intellectual proof, refuting this claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son. Then furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts about himself that he is badi'u as-samawati wal-ard, the originator of the heavens and the earth. He brought them to exist without being based on any former or previous example or way. وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Here it means if he wants to decree a matter, like for example if we go to Surah An-Nahl 16:98, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, meaning إِذَا أَرَدْتَ قِرَاءَتَهُ, if you intend to recite the Quran, then seek refuge in Allah from the accursed devil. So this is one meaning, إِذَا قَضَى وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا. It means if he wants to decree a matter, this is one aspect. Also, it is correct to mean إِذَا فَعَلَ شَيْئًا, if he does something, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ تَعَالَ لَهُ عِنْدَ فِعْلِهِ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. If he does something, then he says to it, when he does it, be and it will be. So his doing a certain thing comes after saying to it, be, without any delay. And this is easy for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is nothing difficult to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says to it, be, and it will be once. No repetition. So it takes place as Allah commanded it to be, and as He intended it to be, and wanted it to be. The benefits of these verses. Number one, making clear the stubbornness of man and his transgression, where he abused and insulted Allah, this grave insult, when he said that Allah had begotten a son. And in the Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَّبَنِ ابْنُ آدَمْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ ذَلِكَ. The son of Adam tells a lie against me. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ ذَلِكَ. Though he has no right to do so. وَشَتَمَنِي وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ ذَلِكَ. And he abuses me, though he has no right to do so. فَأَمَّا تَكْذِيبُهُ إِيَّايَ, as for his telling a lie against me, فقوله إنه لن يعيدني كما بدأني. It is that he claims that I, Allah, cannot recreate him as I created him before. وليس أول الخلق بأهون علي من إعادته. It is the beginning of creation is not as easy as his recreating it. And as to his insult, insulting me, وَأَمَّا شَتْمُهُ إِيَّايَ فَقَوْلُهُ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. It is his statement that I have an offspring. Glorified be me. And in one narration, فَسُبْحَانِي أَنْ أَتَّخِذَ صَاحِبَةً أَوْ وَلَدًا. Glorified be me, I am far from taking a wife or offspring. And in another narration, وَأَنَا الْأَحَدُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ أَلِدْ وَلَمْ أُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِي كُفْءًا أَحَدٌ. And I am al-ahad, the one and unique, al-samad, the self-sufficient master, whom all creation needs, and who is most perfect in his, the most perfect in his attributes. لَمْ أَلِدْ وَلَمْ أُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِي كُفْءًا أَحَدٌ. I beget not, nor was I begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِي كُفْءًا أَحَدٌ. And there is no co-equal or comparable unto me. So this is from the great transgression, and it all refers to the sayings of the Christians, the Jews, and the pagans. And let us take now the following six benefits. In this single verse, there are six angles of refutation to the saying that Allah had begotten a son. The first, in the saying of Allah subhanahu, the term subhanahu is a term of glorification above any imperfection, and therefore implicit in that and clear in that, that he is high above having a son, because taking a son signifies the need for assistance. And maintaining of lineage, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above such imperfection, and high above having a resemblance or likeness. If he were to have a son, then he will be similar to him, and there is nothing like unto Allah. This is all in the saying of Allah subhanahu. The second angle, in his saying, بَلَّهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to him. وَعُمُومُ مُلْكِهِ. The comprehensiveness of his kingdom, يَسْتَلْزِمُ اسْتِغْنَاءَهُ عَنِ الْوَلَدِ, necessitates that he has no need for a son. The third angle, in the same verse, بَلَّهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, rather, all that's in the heavens and the earth belongs to him. And the possessed, وَالْمَمْلُوكُ لَا يَكُونُ وَلَدًا لِلْمَالِكِ, and the possessed cannot be a son for the owner. فَاللَّهُ خَالِقُ, Allah is the creator. وَمَا سِوَاهُ مَخْلُوقٌ, and other than Allah is created. فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ الْمَخْلُوقُ وَلَدًا لِلْخَالِقِ, how come then the created would be a son for the Creator? Impossible. Al-Wajh al-Rabi, the fourth angle, in his saying, كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ, but all are submitters to him. All the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are submissive to him. And in humility to him, this necessitates that they are worshippers of Allah. And the slave worshipper of Allah, لا يكون ولدا لربه, cannot be a son for his Lord. الوجه الخامس, the fifth angle, بديع السماوات والأرض, the originator of the heavens and the earth. Since he is the originator of the heavens and the earth, is able to create a human without a father. Listen to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ghafir, chapter 40, verse 57. لخلق السماوات والأرض أكبر من خلق الناس. The creation of the heavens and the earth is indeed greater than the creation of mankind. Yet most of mankind know not. The sixth angle is in the saying of Allah, إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to decree a matter, He says to it, only be, and it will be, and it is. And the one who is able to be like that, it is not impossible to bring forth into existence a son without a father. And from these six angles, their misconception is refuted. Their misconception is refuted. And from the benefits of these two verses is the general kingdom, affirming the general kingdom to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He has no partner whatsoever in His kingdom, and that everyone in the heavens and on earth is submissive to Allah. And what is intended here is the general submissiveness, which is the universal submissiveness, al-kawni, the universal submissiveness. And submissiveness denotes two meanings, a general and a particular meaning. The particular meaning is the submissiveness in worship and in obedience, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Az-Zumar 39 verse 9, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا. This is of the particular type, the submission or submissiveness of worship. أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا, is one who is obedient to Allah, prostrating himself or standing in prayer during the hours of the night, fearing the hereafter and hoping for the mercy of his Lord, like the one who disbelieves? Certainly not. Also take another evidence for this is in Surah At-Tahrim 66 verse 12, وصدقت بكلمات ربها وكتبه وكانت من القانتين. About Maryam, about Mary عليه السلام. And Maryam, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity, and we breathed into the sleeve of her chest, and she testified to the truth of the words of her Lord. Next statement, please. And she was of the qanitin, meaning obedient to Allah. She was a submissive. She was submissive in obedience. Also take the example about Maryam as well in Al-Imran in 3:43. Ya Maryam uqnuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i ma'a raki'in. Oh Maryam, submit yourself with obedience to your Lord and prostrate yourself. This is the particular qunut, submissiveness in obedience. Now, the second type is the general one, al-qunut al-am, is the qunut of humility, the general one. And this is comprehensive, comprises everyone in the heavens and on the earth, as in the statement here of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. كُلٌّ لَهُ, everyone, even the kafir, because the kafir cannot escape the الحكم الكوني to Allah, cannot escape the universal decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the benefits of these verses, the great ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in originating the heavens and the earth, these magnificent forms of creation. And from the benefits as well is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these heavens and the earth follow an amazing and magnificent order. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mulk in 67 verse 3, ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت. ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت. Who has created the seven heavens one above another? You can see no fault in the creations of the most beneficent. Then look again. Can you see any rifts? Then look again, and yet again your sight will return to you in a state of humiliation and worn out. So you can see no fault in the creations of the most beneficent. This magnificent and vast and great ordered creation is balanced, is not shaken, and does not change over years, reflecting the ability, the magnificent ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing takes a course different than that assigned precisely to it. None of it changes anything else in this orderly and magnificently established creation, all taking its course as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that. So this verse, Badi'u as-samawati wal-ard, the originator of the heavens and the earth, we learn from it the perfect power, strength and ability and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the benefits of these verses is that the heavens are a number, more than one, because the plural is what describes them as heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that clear and affirmed in the sunnah and by the consensus of the Muslims that the sky is a physical mass, is a physical mass or bulk, and this is in contradiction to the claim of the people of deviation and those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who say that إِنَّ الَّذِي فَوْقَنَا فَضَاءٌ لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ, who say that what is above us is unlimited space as to the earth. It came in the Quran in the singular. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated that the earth is also seven in number, as in Surah At-Talaq, verse 12. Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahun. It is Allah who has created seven heavens and of the earth the like thereof, meaning seven. And the Sunnah also stated that in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith 41, I forgot the exact number, we'll get the number later inshallah, but the hadith is من اقتطع شبرا من الأرض ظلما طوقه الله إياه يوم القيامة من سبع أراضين. Any person who takes a span of land unjustly, his neck shall be encircled with it down seven earths on the day of resurrection. And in another narration, any person who takes a piece of land unjustly will sink down the seven earths on the day of resurrection. And from the benefits is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all able to do what he wants, and none can prevent him or render him incapable of doing whatever he wants, because Allah stated إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. Whenever he decrees a matter, he says to it be and it will be. And from this also the benefit, إِثْبَاتُ الْقَوْلِ لِلَّهِ, affirming the saying of Allah, the saying, al-qawl, because he says فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ, he only says to it be, and that the saying of Allah is with a heard voice. فإنما يقول له, he says to it, to the matter, be, and if it were not for this matter being able to hear, then there will be no benefit from addressing it. And thus the one addressed complies, and it comes to exist. And the 12th point, that the saying of Allah is also with letters, because he said kun, and kun is a word composed of two letters. If someone now asks the question, how can we comprehend this while we say that there is nothing like unto Allah, and now you say that he speaks with letters and sounds? We say yes, letters are letters. However, the how of the speech, the manner of the speech, and the reality of the speech, in no way it resembles the utterance or the speaking of the created. And thus, we cannot in any way be from those who make resemblance of Allah to the creation when we say that Allah speaks, and that he speaks with a heard voice, and his speech involves letters, because we say صوت ليس كأصوات المخلوقين, his voice is unlike the voice of the created. Rather, Allah's voice fits his majesty and greatness. And from the benefits, the inanimate al-jamad, the inanimate is submissive to Allah, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he wants a matter, he says to it be and it will be. This comprises matters related to the animate and the inanimate. So if Allah says to the inanimate be, it will be. And from the benefits of these verses, that there is no delay, there is no lag between the command of Allah to bring something into existence and its coming to existence. Rather, it takes place instantaneously, because he said fayakun. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said فَيَكُونَ, and the fa, the article fa preceding the word يَكُون تَدُلُّ عَلَى التَّرْتِيبِ وَالتَّعْقِيبِ, signifies order, ordered arrangement and succession, sequence and succession. This brings the end of these magnificent verses. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. And may Allah's mercy be upon the Shaykh rahimahullah, our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, for his marvelous explanation and beneficial one. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this count for him on the day of resurrection. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.